Welcome to Work of Art, the Mason Gross podcast, produced out of Rutgers University's Mason Gross School of the Arts in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We are a community of nearly 1,200 undergrad and graduate dancers, musicians, theater artists, filmmakers, and visual artists from around the globe. My name is Laurie Granary, and I'll be sitting down with some of these artists, discussing what fuels their curiosity, their passion, and their impulse to make.
My guests today are art and design undergraduates Francesca Stoppa and Olympia Martin. Stoppa, a design student, and Martin, who concentrates in painting, are celebrated student athletes. In July, the Big Ten Conference recognized Stoppa and Martin as 2018-2019 Distinguished Scholars. Stoppa, a Rutgers swimmer, made the list for the third time for maintaining a 4.0 grade point average. Martin is a member of the Rutgers cross country team. Both are decorated athletes. I wanted to talk to Stoppa and Martin, not just because of their accolades, but because they appear to be devoted in equal measure to two pursuits that often require massive amounts of practice time. I wanted to know, how do they make it work? Art and athletics, especially at the collegiate level, require total commitment. What I learned? For Martin and Stoppa, art feeds athletics and vice versa. Ultimately, having less time in the studio has forced them to submit to their instincts and to trust in what poet Allen Ginsberg called first thought, best thought.
How you came to both art, design, and your respective sports. So Francesca, maybe if you can talk a little bit about how you fell in love with swimming and how you ended up living this double life.
Yes, of course. I come from Italy, and I pretty much started swimming when I was three. So my entire life, basically. So that came first. And then middle school, I started falling in love with design, and I decided to go to a design high school in Italy. So that was when I was 13, 14, that I started combining the two together. And I've been doing that since then.
Tell me a little bit, Olympia, about your background with both painting and running.
Well, I think I've just always been doing both of them at the same time, so it kind of melded together. Like, I was always, like, painting on walls, and I was just a really, like, loner kid. I just always want to just play around with colors and draw. And then running, so when I wasn't, like, painting, I would be, like, running around in circles in the backyard. So I was, like, already doing track. I didn't even know it. So it was, I think, in middle school, I started joining an actual track team. But I was also taking, like, art lessons, and it just kind of been my life for the last 10 years. So coming to college and doing it was kind of, like, natural, I guess.
So obviously neither of you felt you had to make a choice, right? Francesca is sort of like, well, talk about that. Talk about maybe about your pressure to make a choice and why you didn't, why you embraced both. We'll start with you, Francesca.
Well, the choice was, I always knew that that's what I wanted to do for, like, the rest of my life. I wanted to be a designer, but being a Mason Gross, being a designer, it means that you have to take 6 hours classes and all these electives that clearly are hard to fit in a schedule when you have 9-10 practices a week. When you're practicing twice a day and you have to fit a block of 6 hours in your routine of being an athlete, and it was very hard to embrace that and figure out a way to make it happen. So that was why it was hard, a hard choice. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there are some preconceived notions about what it means to major in art, because people often think of art as just a pastime, yeah. Right? That it's about talent and not necessarily about craft. So I think that sometimes people are unaware of how intense it is to be in art school. Olympia, have you encountered that?
Yes, I think I've counted that, and I'm still kind of going through it right now with just because we have still meets and practice. And I think this general idea that art is kind of like leisurely, and it's not. Like, I don't know, like, it's a lot of mental and physical work, just like bringing yourself to the studio. And like, I feel what you said, Francesca, about like having to fulfill like studio hours. Like, I'm kind of expected to be in the studio 24/7, painting and drawing. And in addition to projects, like, you need to do studies. I want to do like personal art, but I'm still like a distance athlete. I need to work out at least 2 hours a day, and I travel for meets. And it's definitely like, it, like, I think it like piles up the whole, like, the mental and the physical parts of art in addition to, but also I think it kind of helps it too. Like, it can be both stressful but also relieving, if that's just my experience.
That was actually going to be my next question for both of you. It's easy for me as an outsider who just has one thing, a job, to say, like, how do you do it all? Why do you do it all, right? Why would you do this? Talk to me actually about how your art feeds your sport and how your sport feeds your art.
Personally, I've both in art and in swimming, I was always a very competitive person. So compared to other like majors, other like work outside, being a creative means that you can really be passionate about what you're doing, and you're actually creating things. And to some extent, you can compare yourself to others. And there is some level of competition, even in art, that maybe you can't find in other jobs. So I was able, through design, to kind of feed that competitive like feature of myself that I was always showing in the pool, but that I was always struggling finding in outside the pool. And I finally found it in design. So that's why I was so in love with it, because I was able to put all the passion, all the competitive into my design. And
tell me a little bit more about that, because I don't think people talk about the competitive aspect of art or design. So and I think people are hesitant to do that. What's the competitive aspect of design?
I think it's the competitive comes when you are trying to be the best version of yourself. So it's a more of an internal competitive aspect than an external. Yes, you as an artist and maybe as a painter and a sculptor, other fine arts, you actually have to sell your art. And that's where being competitive is. It's really important, because you need to be passionate about what you're doing, because that then it will show through your work. As a designer, that's more commercial than any other fine arts. I think it was more a personal, competitive aspect than between me and others. It was always between me and myself, me and wanting to be better, a better designer, yeah.
What about your experience, Olympia? Does that resonate with you at all?
Yeah, it totally resonates. Because, like, for me, like, I agree that with painting, it's more about, I don't know, I think from painting and drawing, I think it's a breaking down like boundaries almost with yourself. And for me, that reminds me so much like when I'm running. And so like when at the end of a race, when you're in the most pain, there's something called a kick. And that's supposed to be when you're in the most pain, that's when you go the fastest. And like that's something I've always tried to like apply to like art. Like when you're the most frustrated and tired, you keep going and do the best work. So I think there's definitely like this, I kind of just, I'm always like, oh, what can I do next? And I think that's kind of what drives my art and running, but in completely different ways. Like I really love just the movement part of running. I love just training, but also I love like the staying in one place in the studio. So it's like two completely different ways of relating to space, but the still kind of pushing through and really like seeing what you're capable of. Because I feel like you can't really know what you're capable of until you're, this is getting really like motivational speechy, but until like you're like really pushing through it for like hours and hours. And that's what's like, I don't know, it's like it's exciting. And yeah.
Well, what I'm getting from both of you is that you have to have hustle no matter what. So whether you're swimming, whether you're running, or you're making a design or a painting, that there's some sort of internal fortitude, I guess I would say, that you need. That seems to be a through line in what you're talking about. Talk about, Olympia, you mentioned that pressure to always be in the studio and the pressure to always be training. How do you get out of your own way mentally and not feel guilty that you, when you're running, you should be in the studio? You know, I can imagine there's a push-pull because there's that sense of total dedication. How do you not feel splintered and guilty all the time? Yeah, sure.
Well, to be honest, I do feel splintered and guilty a lot of the time. Yeah. But it's just like something I got to be like, okay, I have to sometimes almost be like, this is a job. Like, I can think of both as a kind of a job. I'm like, I'd be like, okay, I did what I could for training today. I cross-trained, I did core, I ran 8 miles. I'm like, okay. And then and whenever I go to the studio and I see everyone there like in there 24/7, I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna do what I can. I'm gonna paint, I'm gonna work for 6 hours and take a break, then work for another. I just have to almost like distance myself from it sometimes, even though I love it. I have to be like, you need rest. Like there's almost so much time, like time is a currency. There's almost so much time you have. And I know like from personal experience, if I don't give myself time to recuperate, I'm going to burn out real quick. So I have to like think of time as a currency when it comes to that.
I see you nodding your head, Francesca. Can you share a little bit?
Yes. So to me, there is always like pressure and wanting to use your time the best you can. And I think the way I found some balance was by every time I was either in the pool or in the classroom, I tried to be in the moment. So I was at practice and I had to focus on giving my 100% and getting the most out of that session of practice. Same in class. I didn't have time. I couldn't waste time thinking about swimming when I was in class. So I had to focus and be in the moment and try to use the time that I had in class to be as productive as I could. So when I was done with class, I could focus into my other half of my life. So it was all about focusing on what you were doing at that moment, not letting the other part being overtaking the other half. So it was a lot about like finding that balance.
Which I imagine is constant. And I was thinking, you know, you're both really stellar students, and I wonder how much having to be uber organized has fed into that, because you don't have time, I imagine, to waste, or, you know, I hope you get time to hang out with your friends and do those things, because as you said, Olympia, like, you need that too. You need that too, to be a whole person and to not feel like you're a robot. But how has this busyness and this need to structure your time been beneficial?
To me personally, not having a lot of time is actually better. I work a lot better under pressure, and when I'm running out of time, that's when I feel that I'm getting the most out of my time. And that's been my whole life. I've been juggling that my whole life, so it's almost routine. It becomes natural, and just like that, right? Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, Francesca, I totally agree. I feel like having the time constraint, even though it's more stress, I think it definitely helps. Like, I don't know, when you know you don't have as much time, I kind of make bolder choices. I kind of don't hesitate. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually the most disorganized person in the entire world. I'm amazed I've got through some of my classes because I'm a mess when it comes to organization. But I really, like, I just don't hesitate with, like, certain things. And, like, you have no time to be, like, thinking about what you do or, like, doubting yourself because you have but half as much time as everyone else, sometimes half as much energy. Just do it. And then, like, I've surprisingly made some stuff I'm really proud of from that. So,
do you know what I mean? I mean, I don't mean to push you at all toward an answer, but just that sense of not being in the... I'm wondering about... what's beneficial, honestly, about not being in the studio all the time? Hopefully I won't get in trouble with the faculty. But, you know, I mean, not going at it in this vector path, but maybe coming at it dripping wet or sweating.
Yeah, I think that personally, whenever I try to, I really, really need to come up with an idea quick, and I force myself to... think in that way, I oftentimes don't find the answer that I'm looking for. And as you said, like, a lot of the time it actually comes when you least expect it. And to me, it's usually right when I'm about to go to sleep, and I just, like, turn off my lights and I'm, like, completely in my head, and that's when most of the ideas actually come. And it's a little frustrating because I know I have practice the next morning, so I can't stay up and work on the idea, so I have to, like, write it down and make sure that what was in my head is actually written down so the next day I can work on it. So you have to ideas come in the weirdest time of the day. Yeah.
I think, like, I do sometimes get inspiration from running just because it gives, I mean, when you, I'm around, like, people, I'm moving through space, like, I could definitely think I'd get some inspiration, especially from a figurative art from the athletes I'm around. But, I completely forgot the question.
Oh, just talking about how sometimes ideas will come to us unbidden. We're not there actively trying to pull a solution to us, but you could be running for 12 or 13 miles and it can show up.
Definitely. I think at that point, I think inspiration can come from, like, outside and within, when I'm running that long distance, it's both. It's like the environment around me and also whatever I'm thinking about. And I definitely think, like, a lot of inspiration should come outside from the studio. I think being in one space is not, like, healthy at all for art. And in that regard, like, I'm always, like, really thankful to have, like, running, you know, because it helps me so much.
For sure. For sure. I'm wondering, I always hesitate to ask young people about goals in the future because I know that that can just pretty much freeze you up and and it's not as exciting as people my age tend to think it is to talk about the future. But I'm just wondering how you're both hoping to keep your athleticism and your art close to you when you're not in this structure, when you're not wearing a Rutgers Scarlet when you're out of the Scarlet Cage. That'll be the new podcast name, The Scarlet Cage. I know that some scholar athletes, for example, I know so many who've had issues with that once they leave the team atmosphere, how to keep that close to them. So what are your thoughts about that? Is that important to you or is it not, to keep the sport and the art close to you?
I think that the thing that athletes miss the most when they're done with their sport is the high that comes with either running or swimming and achieving the goal that you have been working so hard for. So I think that it's really, at least I'm not sure about running, but for swimming, like, you have a season and the goal is usually to swim fast at the end of the season when the time comes. So you work, you have a clear picture in your head of what's coming and what the next couple of months are going to look like. And you work towards that. So you have a very clear picture of your goals, of the way you're going to get there. And there's a really big high when you reach that time that you have been like craving, you've been like working for. So I think the thing we miss the most when we are done is to find that clear picture of what the next goal is, of what the next months, years, everything becomes so abstract in a way. And you kind of like, all right, well, what do I do? Right, like, decisions don't come as easily. They, you're doubting yourself in a lot of the decision that you have to make because you don't have, let's say, a sport that's like, I guess, like driving the decisions. Like, every day when you're an athlete, you make decisions that try to benefit the athletes as well as the student. When you're done with the sport, you don't have that athletic part in your life, so you're only a student. And that creates a lot of indecision. So what do I do now that I have so much time that I don't have that pressure anymore, that I can sort of like juggle different things in my life? It's yeah. The balance is it's pretty much broken. So.
Well, no, I appreciate you talking about that because I know, Francesca, you're in that place now. How are you navigating that? And don't feel that you have to have it all solved. But I think this is pretty huge for people who are scholar athletes to navigate, because you don't have this one marker of success saying if you do this thing, you finish this thing in this amount of time, success. Check it off. It's a lot more indistinct. So how are you navigating that right now?
So I was done with swimming in March last year. So it has been 6-7 months that I've been trying to find that balance. And it's still a work in progress. But I think what's been, especially in design, what's been challenging right now is that if before, when I was a swimmer, I would wake up at like 5:30 or 6 in the morning to go to practice. So at night, the day before, I would go to sleep at like 9:30. So I had like full energy in the morning. It wasn't a choice. It was never a choice whether I had to be done with my student, my schoolwork, because it was time to go to bed. So that was pretty much it for the day. So right now, I what's hard is to find an end to my projects. So because I have so much time, I'm like always trying to make it better. I'm always questioning myself, as Olympia said before, like you kind of just, when you don't have a lot of time, you go for it. You make bold decisions and you just go for it. And right now that I have a lot of time, I'm like, what if this, you know, maybe this is not working, maybe it is. When before everything was so much clearer, right now I doubt myself a little more, and I have time at night. I don't have to go to bed at 9 o'clock. I can go to bed at 12, so I have more time to work on it. And I tell myself, oh, well, more time to work on my design projects, when in reality I'm just wasting time questioning myself and going back on my decisions that, yeah, it's that's the struggle right now.
Yeah, what a revelation, huh? Yeah. And so, Olympia, you're still on the other side of that. What does that make you think of hearing Francesca talk about the life after sports?
I guess I never really thought, I never really thought about, like, how much, like, it really just put an end. I really do, like, navigate my whole schedule around sports, like, my energy and my energy. And, like, I don't know. I'm kind of, like, thinking, wow, I'm really happy I have this almost, like, track and field is almost like a nanny to me. It's like, you better go to bed at 12 and wake up at 7. Like, you need to eat this then. And, like, now I'm thinking about it, I can imagine, like, when I stop competing, I'm going to be kind of, I can be free to, like, eat whenever I want, go to sleep at, like, 4 a.m. And no one's going to be there, and there's going to be nothing that's going to stop me. Like, no coach who's going to, like, call me out on it, no other athletes. So it's like, wow, it's like, it's strangely freeing having these kind of restrictions, you know, because, like, now I'm like, okay, I just, like, I think I'm, I like having a sure end. I'm like, okay, I can't work past 12. That's like one goal I have. I'm like, I need to stop. I need to sleep by 12. It's, and I've been, I don't know how, but I've managed. But it's like, wow, it's almost like having like a pair. I don't know. I'm just like, I think I was thinking what I was going to miss when I stopped competing. And my first thought was my teammates. I'm really going to miss, you know, having that kind of social group, because I'm usually like alone in my studio. They ask, like, why is a painter? But I think also, like, having this whole, I don't know, other part of my life, which kind of like this double identity has been, which sometimes I hate, I like, I'm upset about, but honestly, it's been so helpful. I'm just having this big revelation right now about it. Thank you, Francesca.
I guess I want to add that throughout last year, when we had a lot of discussion in my design classes, and a lot of the time, we came up with this, with the idea, we started talking about this idea of parameters and structure. And as Olympia said, a lot of the time having those structures actually helps. And especially in design, when you're absolutely free of doing whatever you want, is actually frightening. Mm-hmm. It's so, it just too open, and you have to put parameters for yourself. You have to put a structure and some guides that will help you develop your project. So, in a similar way, when you have such a tight structure, that's created by the athletic department, then you kind of work in a better way, or you just have to some extent your mind has just the perfect picture of what it has to do, and when you have complete freedom, then you're kind of lost. You just try and find the way, but it's not really like defined by anything, so you have to define the road yourself.
Now, this is a really, I think this is a conversation that a lot of people will relate to. I love that idea of, we've got to figure out how to be our own nannies, right? When swimming isn't, or running isn't, or school. That's the path, and that can be difficult to navigate. But it sounds like you're both up to it. You both have the endurance for sure. Thank you both so much for taking the time. I know you have very little of it, so thank you, especially for taking the time to come on the podcast.
Of course, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.